Tonight, Pastor Adam will be finishing us off the new year. We had some young guns preach during this season. And Christopher, he was last week there to speak in the morning. And Pastor Adam, he's going to finish the year off speaking tonight. So come on out and enjoy our service here. Well, this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to encourage you to turn to Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20. Also want to mention that Odette, Mike, and Jenna, is that if you can't make tomorrow, come on out tomorrow. The following Saturday, they're going to have it on the two Saturdays in a row. And we know the following will be a lot warmer. And tonight, too, if you don't want to do games or that's not your thing, please feel free to come and pray in the sanctuary. And if you want to enter in the new year that way, you're more than welcome to do that as well. I know there are going to be some nice appetizers there, so that's worth coming tonight for just in itself. So Luke chapter 2, 8 to 20, how do you respond to the Christ child? Well, that night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your people this morning. And we just pray that, Lord, there would be a blessing to every person that hears this word today, and it'd be an encouragement to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning, I just want to look at this Christmas story just one more time before we enter the new year. The Christmas story is an interesting story, and it's certainly an important story, obviously, to our faith. And so it's something that we should be wanting to be reminded of, because there's a lot of truth, meaning found in that story. But today I'd just like to focus on the shepherds and their response to the angelic announcement that a Savior has been born. Now, the first response of the shepherds was fear, as I think it would be for any one of us as well. If all of a sudden in the middle of the night, as you're out there tending your flock and everything is settling down, and all of a sudden an angel appears to you out of nowheres, I think all of us would be probably quite startled, and that would be probably our initial response. But thankfully that fear didn't last long, as they realized that the angel had good news to share. Now, in Old Testament times, a lot of times when an angel showed up, it wasn't always good news. And so sometimes it was news of judgment. And so to see an angel, you were never sure if you were going to get good news or bad news. And so obviously they were a bit startled. And if you can imagine what it would be like that night to have an angel appear to you. And then if that's not enough, the angel appeared, all of a sudden the heavens open and you see an angelic host. I wonder that this morning, what would happen to all of us if all of a sudden that roof just seemed to open up and all of a sudden you saw heavenly angels. All of us saw that. I wonder what would happen to us. I think probably most of us would maybe hit the deck and be worshiping the Lord. After our first reaction would probably be a little bit of fear and that we can't believe what we're seeing. I'm sure it was very inspiring and awe to these shepherds that day. But soon that we see that soon there's an excitement in their hearts. Soon there's an anticipation to what does all of this mean? And we see that they immediately leave for Bethlehem. And they find the child that the angel spoke about. And the Bible says they found the baby lying in a manger with Mary and Joseph. They were quite astonished. the Bible says about their whole experience. And I'm sure they would be for any one of us in the same situation. But as we look at this experience, I believe it gives us some insights on how we should be responding to the news that a Savior has been born. And that's what I'd like to focus this message on this morning. How we should respond to the news that a Savior, the Christ child, has been born. Well, first of all, as we look at the shepherd's response to the Christ child, we see that beyond the first initial part of fear, there came a joy. And in fact, not only did they respond with joy, but also we see that the heavenly host, the angels of heaven, also could not hold back their joy, and they just began to burst forth in song and in praise unto the Lord that very night as well. We find that in Luke 2, 9 to 11. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem in the city of David." So the initial reaction, as we said, was some fear that came there. But as they hear the announcement, "Listen, I am bringing you good news, and I'm bringing you something that's going to bring you great joy." And so that's kind of the announcements we like to hear from heaven, where God would say unto us, "I have some good news for you. I have something that will bring great joy to all the world." And that is God's desire, that God desires to bring good news to all the world. God desires to bring joy, great joy into all the world. You need to realize that the birth of Christ, it's good news. And it is the foundation of the good news that we preach. The gospel that is found in our Bibles is often referred to as the good news. That's what we're proclaiming. That's what we're preaching. We're preaching good news. Good news is that which is beneficial. Good news is that which is genuine and true. Now, as we look in our world today, we see so much bad news. It seems that bad news sells better than good news. I'm not really convinced of that. I think if our newscasts would start changing that up and start producing some good news articles, I think they'd find they'd have more viewers. And yet today we see an exact opposite, where we see the fake news that we keep hearing about on our televisions and sometimes even the rants, but it actually is true. They admit it themselves that they're lying. They're speaking lies to us, and it's because they lack integrity today. We live in a world today where integrity is not considered important until you get caught doing something bad. Then all of a sudden, it becomes important. But we're in a society today where integrity is not really held very highly. But the news of the birth of Christ is good news. It's news that is true news, that should be causing a response of excitement and joy to all those that hear about this news. And when we receive this good news of a Savior, when we believe that this news is true, that Jesus is the Son of God sent from heaven to deliver us from sin, it should be a cause of joy to all of us. The Savior of the world has come. The promised Messiah that the Jewish people were looking for has finally come. The Savior, the God who comes to forgive us of our sins and to offer us a hope, a future, and a heaven. That should cause us some joy. That should cause a response in our lives, that as we encounter Jesus Christ in our lives, it should make a difference. There should be a joy that comes in our lives when we realize, "I've been forgiven. God has forgiven me of my sin." As we think of all the wrongs that we have done in our lives, or things that we've done that we're ashamed of, and God comes along and says, "I want to forgive you. I want to take those things that you're ashamed of, that you're embarrassed about, things that you have done that have been wronged, and I want to forgive you. If you will just simply receive me and welcome me, I will come into your life and I will grant you this joy." That's a joy that only God can bring. John 3:16, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That should cause us joy. That should make us very happy, that we realize that we have an eternity ahead of us with Christ. Not in hell, not in judgment, but in eternity in heaven. See, Jesus Christ is the truth. He is the life. He is the way to heaven. And that should cause a happiness, a delight, a very glad feeling inside of us. The news of the birth of Christ Jesus should cause a response of joy in us, just as it did for the shepherds, just as it did for the angels on that day. The proper response to the Christmas story that a Savior is born should be the response of joy. It should be the response that makes us very happy that this occasion has occurred in our history. Secondly, this shepherd encounter teaches us that we should respond to the Christ child by seeking him, taking the time to search for him, to find him, to discover him. The Christ child of Christmas is worthy of our time to seek him. Luke chapter 2, 15 to 16 is where it tells us that. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was a baby lying in the manger. See, it's not enough just to hear the Christmas story. It's not enough just to be happy. It's not enough just to be joyous about the Christmas season. It's not enough just to hear the good news or the gospel message about Jesus Christ. We have to do something with it. We need to respond to that message by seeking him out, searching for Christ until you find him and experience him for yourself. Imagine if the shepherds decided not to go to Bethlehem. Imagine what it would have been like if they had not gone. They probably would not have experienced or realized that Jesus was the Messiah. They probably would not have experienced salvation in their lives. They probably would never have began to share their story with others that obviously led many others to the kingdom of God and continues to lead people to the kingdom of God, listening to their story today. But all those things would never have happened if they didn't take that step to seek the Lord, to search him out. You know, and as they went to Bethlehem, it really shows us that they really did search because they finally found the baby in a manger. They probably weren't expecting that. Probably it was the last place in Bethlehem that they came to. They probably searched everywhere else. But finally, they came there. So they searched intently. Their response definitely needs to encourage us to do the same, that we should seek the Christ child for ourselves. Find out. Find out if that message is true. Put effort and time into our search and keep looking till we find him and experience him. Isaiah the prophet reminds us of how serious we should take this response, as time is of importance. In Isaiah 55, 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him now while he is near." That would suggest to us that we can miss him. We can miss an opportunity to experience him. And so when those times and opportunities come our way, we need to be willing and ready to jump at those moments and those circumstances and search for him until we experience him and find him. It's not something you should put off. A lot of times we think, well, I have lots of time. You don't know how much time you have. None of us do. The Bible says for every one of us, there's an appointed time for us to die, to live, all those things. There's an appointed time. We don't know when it is. We might live to our 90s. Maybe we might live to a very young age and our life is taken. You don't know. So the Bible says, seek the Lord while you have that opportunity that you can. Call on him when you sense him, when you feel that he's near. Don't put it off. Don't be deceived that you have lots of time to respond. So many people have never experienced salvation because they've said to themselves, I have lots of time. I'll serve God later. I know that he's truth. I know that he's the way, but I'm not ready to serve him yet. Friends, that's the enemy. You don't want to do that. You need to seek him until you find him and experience him. as the Christ, as the Messiah, as your Lord. See, God has given us the Christmas story to remind us that, yes, He did come. The whole world is reminded at Christmas time that Jesus did come. It was interesting this year that even Hollywood put out a cartoon of the birth of Jesus. They put out a lot of other terrible things too, but at least they had one good one out there. Reminded people that this is a true story. This really did happen. God has given us the Bibles. We have our Bibles in front of us. And whether you have an electronic one or whether you're holding the weight of the written and printed Word of God, it's full of truth and directions to find Him. God has given us His Holy Spirit to draw us to Him. And just with these things alone, it should cause a response in us that we would want to seek further to find Him and encounter Christ. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me." See, Christ wants to be found. He is not hiding, and it should be our response as we hear about Him and as we're reminded of the Christmas story, that it should create in us a hunger to seek Him and to look for Him, that we might experience Him in all of our fullness. Just like the shepherds, they didn't give up until they saw Jesus face to face. We should be the same. We should continue to seek Him and then we experience Him face to face. And after all, it is an invitation by Jesus Himself, and He continues to welcome us. He continues to encourage us to come to Him. I love the invitation of Matthew 11, 28 to 30, and Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me. All of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." You know, sometimes we just apply this scripture to coming to Christ for that first time. No, that's how we need to come to Christ at any time. When we are feeling burdened, when we're weary and we're carrying heavy burdens, come to Him. He's inviting you to come. Come to me. I want to help you. I want to touch you. I want to minister to you. That's His cry. Well, the shepherds, they heeded the invitation of the angels to go and seek the Christ child. And it gives us that same encouragement that we too today need to respond to the invitation of God to come, to seek Him. Because if you seek Him, you will find Him. Thirdly, the shepherd encounter should encourage us to respond by telling the story. Tell the story of the birth of Christ. Tell the story of how you found Christ. How Christ became a part of your life. It's an important part of our Christianity to tell the good news. Luke chapter 2, 17 to 18 says, "After seeing Him, the shepherds told everyone," seeing Jesus, "the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. And all who heard the shepherd's story were astonished." Now, it doesn't go on to tell us that how many people came to Christ because of their efforts, because the Bible says if everything was written that had happened, there wouldn't be enough volumes on earth to cover it all. So it's just kind of giving us, this is the basis of the Christmas story. But in this basis of the Christmas story, we see that there's a responsibility that we have to go and tell the story. It's a very important response that we should have even as we experience Jesus Christ today. That we would come out of our closets and tell people, "I found Jesus Christ." And the best way to do that is not to preach at people. People aren't interested in us preaching at them, but they are interested in hearing our story. The Full Gospel Businessmen Association, their roots, the beginning of that ministry, all started with sharing a very simple thing, a testimony. People are interested in a testimony. You need to share your testimony. The shepherds shared their testimony of this angelic encounter and how they found the Christ child. And the Bible says the people were astonished by it. And I want to tell you something, friends, that if you would share your story of how you came to Christ, It will astonish many people. It will cause many people to respond and come to Jesus Christ. You don't have to know all the ins and outs of your faith. You don't have to know that Bible from inside to the outside. You don't have to know it all. Just share your testimony. Just share what Jesus Christ has done for you. Just share how you came to faith in Jesus Christ. You know, we often don't see people come to Christ because we don't tell our story. People don't know that we have become Christians. We keep it quiet. We kind of don't want to let other people know because we're scared they might mock us or laugh at us. When we should be the opposite, we should be excited to share. I found Jesus Christ. There's a difference in my life today. Let me tell you about it. Why things have changed in my life. And as we do, there'll be great things that will take place in our lives. There's an old song there. I know a number of you could probably, if you're my age or older, you could sing it. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell on the mountain. I know the Reed family can sing that one too, right? Jesus Christ has been born. It's a message you're supposed to tell. Just like the shepherds, tell it. Share the story about that. It's part of our mission. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, Jesus came and he told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teach them, these new disciples, to obey all the commands I've given you. And then be sure, I'm with you. God doesn't leave you to do that on your own. You're never alone. He's always with you and is there to help you. Once we've experienced Christ in our lives, it needs to be our mission to go and tell the story. Tell the story. Tell your story. Tell about how you came to Christ. The shepherds, that's all that they did. They just simply began to tell people of their encounter with God, their encounter with Jesus Christ. And friends, that's all that's required of you. Go tell your story. How you came to Jesus Christ. People will be astonished. People will be drawn to Jesus Christ. People will be drawn to the truth because of what you share. Jesus should not be a secret in our lives. Tell the story. Tell the story. How are people going to ever hear? How are people going to understand about Jesus if we don't go out and tell them? My goodness, some of the world is out there telling the story of Jesus when many Christians are silent about Jesus. Romans 10, 14 to 15 tells us quite clearly, how can they call on him, call on Jesus, to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scriptures say how beautiful are the feet of messengers who bring good news. Do you know that God blesses you? That there's a blessing on your life as you go out there and you tell the story. As you share the story of Jesus. Friends, we are those modern messengers today who bring the good news to people. Every Christian needs to be willing to tell the story. I know a lot of times you guys say, that's not my gift. I'm not really good at speaking and I'm not very good at telling people. No, we're just tell your story. They're not interested in your preaching anyway, but they are interested in your story. Tell your story about how you came to Jesus Christ. The shepherds responded by telling their story. So should we. Tell the story of Jesus. Tell the story. It's a proper response to experiencing the Christ child. And then lastly, from the story of the shepherd, it teaches us to respond to Christ by praising him. Commend his worth. Express your admiration. Express grateful appreciation to your God. The Bible says in Luke 2:20, the shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. After encountering the Christ and seeing for themselves the truth of the story of the Christ child, the shepherds went back to their flock, expressing their gratefulness, honoring the Lord with their worship and with their praise. See, God is always worthy of our praise. God is always worthy of our worship. It's an important part of our response to God, that we might praise Him. You know something, every Sunday morning, it's very important for us to worship the Lord. And when we have a worship team here, God bless our worship team. They were here probably an hour and a half before service even started to prepare themselves even more, to practice even more, to prepare themselves to give worship and to lead you and worship to our God, because they recognize worship's very important. Worship ushers in the presence of God. Worship ushers in the miraculous. Worship ushers in the breakthroughs that we all need. And if we will just simply worship and praise Him, great things will happen, as it did just for the shepherds, because many people were astonished by the story. They saw in them that there was a new excitement that was in these shepherds. Something happened. And let me tell you, when you come to that knowledge of Christ and you experience Christ in your life, something does happen. Something changes in your life. And there should be an excitement. There should be a new praise that rises up from your heart that people should notice and that people should see. I thank you today that you came today because you were intent on coming to this place this morning. You had a great excuse to stay home, but you decided to make a choice, say, no, I am going to church today. I am going to go and I'm going to worship the Lord today. Do you know that pleased Him? Do you realize that you've pleased God today by being here to praise Him? But that should be the case all the time. And obviously for you it is, because you're here today. You're here to worship the Lord. Praise is important to you. Worship is important to you. That is a good thing, because it needs to be the proper response that we would have encountering the Christ. It's a response that even the angels of heaven, it's so interesting that in this story, that it's almost like, hey, we want to be a part of this too. Just don't let one angel. We all want to be involved in this story. We all want to be a part of this, and we all want to join in with the praise. And wouldn't that be just awesome to see those heavens open? I know that some of you had that picture in your minds as you worship, that you saw like literally the ceiling opening and an angelic host there in that spiritual realm. What if you saw it in the natural realm with your eyes? I think that'd be quite cool to see all of a sudden the heavenly hosts joining with us. They were so excited. We want to be a part of this too. And so they were, all the angels. The shepherds got to see all those angels worshiping the Lord. Verses 13 and 14. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace on earth to those whom God is pleased. That's a great response. Heaven is filled with praise 24/7. I think we need to continue to follow that response of the shepherds and of the angels and praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because He's worthy of our response of praise. Praise is always a proper response before our God. In fact, the Bible says everything that breathes in this world needs to respond with praise to the Lord. And in fact, it's the conclusion of the book of Psalms, 150 chapters that are in there. Beautiful. I love reading the Psalms. They're so encouraging. But there's also the Psalms to be actually sung. That's why they're called the Psalms. But you'll note at the very last verse, after you go through 150 chapters, it says this. Let everything that breathes, or the King James says, let everything that has breath sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's the summation of it all. Praise Him. He's worthy of our praise. The lowly shepherds of Bethlehem, they taught us a good lesson on how we should respond to the Christ child. A lesson I encourage us all to continue. Let us praise Him. And as we come into this new year, let us praise Him. Don't allow what this past year has taken place to go into the next year. If there's been some bad experiences, we want to leave that behind. A new day. A new season. I'm going to praise Him. I'm going to choose to praise Him. I'm going to choose to focus on Him and what he has done and what he is doing. And so as we conclude today, and musicians, as you come back to the instruments, the story of the shepherds and the Christmas story does speak well to us, but how we should respond to Christ in our own lives. When we encounter Jesus, when we're introduced to that truth of Jesus, and as we experience the good news for ourselves, I think it'd be good for us to follow through with the responses that these shepherds did for us. Let us respond to Christ with joy. What Christ has done for us, we should be a happy people. We really should. When you look over your own life, and we have all sinned. Bible tells us that. In case you don't believe that, just look at ourselves. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of those standards of God. We're all guilty. But through Jesus Christ, there's now forgiveness of sins. I can be forgiven. You can be forgiven. Our slates can be washed clean by the blood of the Lamb. That's something to be thankful for. Never would have happened unless Jesus came. Let us respond to Christ by seeking after him. He's worth the effort. You got to search for him. You got to seek him. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep seeking him. Keep seeking him. Let us respond to Christ by telling the story. Share your testimony. We've been looking at some new visions and mission statements. And from what I'm hearing back from them, our committee that's looking at that, it's all about that one. Tell your story. You got a mission to get out there. Share your story. Tell people about Jesus. Tell them about your experience. Don't worry if you don't know it all. You don't need to know it all. They're looking to hear it from somebody that they know, that they can say, because I heard it from you, I'm going to receive that message. It's not just something I hear from a book. It's not just something I'm hearing because they don't understand what the conviction of the Holy Spirit is. They don't understand a lot of times those promptings that come beyond the inside. But they understand you. They know you. And when you tell your story can make all the difference in the world. Tell the story. Tell the story of Jesus. Then, lastly, it says, let us respond with some praise. Praise is always appropriate. Always an appropriate response. And as we come to the close of this service, our worship team is ready to lead us in another song of worship, another song of praise. We can do that. We can take a few moments and just start to praise him, just to start to worship him. But maybe you're here today as well, and you've heard the story of Jesus, you heard the story of Christmas, you know, you heard it all. But you really never made a change in your life. Because you didn't take that further step to search it out, to encounter him, to experience him. You kind of gave up on that journey. Maybe you started it, but you never finished it. I think today, as we start a new year tomorrow, what a great way to enter a new year and say, you know what? 2018 is going to be a different year for me, because I'm going to search him out. I'm going to find him. I'm going to experience him. My life's going to be different. Maybe you're here today and you've never told your story to anybody. Maybe you've been keeping kind of a secret. You didn't really mean to, but it has been. It's been a secret. It's time to tell your story. Tell the story. Let somebody else know. See, as you share from your heart what Christ has done for you, that is the best gospel message you can ever give. There really is. Tell the story of how you came to Jesus.